This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. It is Thursday, December 23rd, 2021, and you're on the clock with Aaron Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. Good morning. If you hear me with a little hesitation in my voice, that's because I had my own Junkanoo rush out last night in my own neighborhood. See, all y'all people having Junkanoo rush out, and y'all wouldn't tell us where it is, how to get involved, how to participate. Well, that's y'all business. I had my own Junkanoo rush out last night. Me, Mr. Reginald Raccoon, and two of the pot cakes from my neighborhood, we had a good old time banging on garbage bin, blowing car horn, knocking old pot together to knock the pot cake out. Anyway, I did get a little excited, and I tried to do that jump. You know the jump in the air with that big guy? You know the guy who looked like he's pick up almond trees and just replant them every 10 feet? That big guy jump in the air and throw his legs up like a ballerina split? Anyway, I was trying to do that. I may or may not have hurt myself. But Mr. Reginald Raccoon has all the pictures in case you want to verify for yourself. But if the Saxons, you know, they only want to rush out in Stapledon, that's their business. Where the Saxons is rush out, Mason's edition, eh? Valley and Stapledon, right? Valley and Stapledon. That's your business. Y'all do it how y'all want to do it. I can do it how I want to do it. And Bahamians can do it how they want to do it. But just know this one thing. They could do it. Whether you plan it or not, they could do it. It's a part of who they are. And so if you don't prepare the way, they can make a way. And that message isn't just for parents, for community leaders, for teachers, it's for governments as well. If you don't prepare a way, the people will make a way. Whether they run right through you or not. To remember that duty of care that we have for one another. Just because you can see the way doesn't mean that everybody could see the way. And if you're in a position where you have a duty of care for, or you're in a supervisory position or a leadership position, you have an obligation to those you lead to ensure that they can see the way. I want to take it a little further. See, that's sort of a legal, ethical discussion. Let's talk about a moral discussion. We all have a duty of care to each other. We all have an obligation to share. When you hear, you see your brethren headed in the wrong direction, you have a duty of care to say to him or her, listen, I don't know where you was going, but have you considered these routes? So you don't have to tell, oh, you're wrong. You don't know what you're doing. You have a duty of care trying to get down here. You're trying to get to that island. Did you know there were two other ways you could go? Consider it. Think about it. Anyway, that's what came to me today. That's what I wanted to share today. So I could talk about traffic all day. I love it. I love talking about it. You know why? It's like free consultation for the government. I don't understand why they don't understand how much easier this job could be of causing and compelling people to discipline themselves. I see the Prime Minister this morning will be addressing the public and will be speaking to, I think, what has been called guidelines. I'm okay with that, I guess. Guidelines to help us prepare for the fourth wave. I think you're a bit late, but I'm glad that you step in to the table. Because that's what people need. That's what they want. That's what they've been socialized, trained, and educated to respond to. We're not saying you have to lead us like parents lead by their children. We're at that stage now where we sort of like young adults and teenagers. It'd have to be a different type of interaction. We still need your guidance. We definitely have a greater degree of autonomy than before. Don't do us like you do your children when they decide that they're responding to these new feelings of maturity and autonomy. It's a feeling, you know. You literally wake up and feel it like the world is in your grasp. But don't be like the parents that get upset that their children would sort of buck their authority. Understand what's going on and continue to guide us through this process. And see, while you get mad at the little child, the teenager, the young adult that refuses to follow the rules, you're ignoring the thousands and thousands of Bahamians that are still relying on you to live up to your duty to cause those who don't want to behave, if I could use that language, to moderate themselves. And so as I was coming to work this morning, I like to call it work, it makes me feel good. I'm coming to work this morning on Duke Street approaching Cumberland. I watched this, not a payloader, what do you call it, sir?
A backhoe.
A backhoe, that's what it is. I watched a backhoe run the red light at Blue Hill. Not just run it, you know, when they run it, they come in over, what, 5 miles an hour. You could see them. You know they come in. You know they ain't stopping. That's not what happened. I don't understand how a backhoe was designed to make 40 miles an hour coming up a hill. I didn't think it was possible. I wouldn't know if this thing was souped up, you know? You go to the mechanic and he's psh, psh, put a little extra nitrous in it. I thought it was souped up. You see, I remember the Honorable Wayne Monroe, one of his first statements as he's national security, admonishing parents, reminding us that parents have a major responsibility to raise and govern their children, their young people, prepare them to be well-functioning citizens. But I don't want you all to do that this time. I don't want you to say to us, well, what can we do about bad drivers? What can we do about people who don't want to follow the rules? You really have to turn to their parents. Now, there are many of us out here who are following the rules, and we're still relying on you to moderate the behavior or cause to moderate the behavior of those that refuse to follow the rules to the detriment of others. See, we could do that. We can learn to exercise our individual and collective authority and authorities without challenging or ignoring the inherent authority of others. We could do that. But if you continue to treat us like children that have no say, that have no sense, that have no grasp on the world around them, should only follow orders, you don't talk to them about what your instructions mean. Let's try that for a moment. Let's try that. We're still waiting on y'all to govern. We're still waiting on good governance. Well, good morning. I'm glad I had that little junk new rush out last night. That cleared my head. Well. Well, I was going to come in here and talk about politicians. I don't talk about no politicians this morning. It's Christmas time. And so I've invited in studio with me Pastor Cedric Moss. Pastor Cedric Moss is a senior pastor at Kingdom Life Church. I'm going to read just an excerpt from his bio and tell you all why I'm so excited about this discussion this morning. Mr. Moss has a passion to see the church reformed to function in her biblical role as salt and light, and for the influence of Christ and his kingdom to be extended to the ends of the earth. For this reason, he is actively involved in addressing national issues from a biblical perspective. Well, good morning, Mr. Moss.
Good morning, Aaron. I'm well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. I want to say, I invited you long before I read this bio, but this bio made me feel good about my decision. I know some people, and even yesterday I sort of put a controversial spin on the show. I said we're going to have a discussion about the cultural Christmas and the cultural Christian versus the religious Christmas and the religious Christian. But I don't think it can be controversial. What I really appreciate is your commitment to addressing national issues.
Thank you, Aaron.
From the perspective that you think is right and sound. That's all I could ask for from anybody in my country. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we need. We don't need to wait until we all agree to begin discussing the important things.
Sure.
I think the most important thing is to have as many perspectives on the table as possible. And so, good morning and welcome.
Morning again, and thank you for having me. I pray that we have a very stimulating discussion this morning.
Absolutely. So I want to say to my callers, give me a second. I want to ask Pastor Moss to introduce himself. We get into a couple of questions, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines, but I won't take very long at all for that. So Pastor Moss, please introduce yourself briefly, and then we're going to get into our first question.
Well, what you shared is certainly a very good introduction, but I'm married, 34 years. I have three adult children, and I've been pastoring Kingdom Life Church for 31 of those years.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is awesome. So I've invited you here to have a conversation about faith, mm-hmm. faith and time of COVID. And so I'm going to ask you the first question, what is faith?
Well, generically, faith refers to beliefs that people hold in a variety of religions. I tend not to use it because it's vague and you're really okay. Not sure. You started out talking about this duty of care mm-hmm. that we all have to each other. And I think while it's not a legal duty of care, it is a moral duty of care. We do have a moral duty of care to be interested in one another's lives, and if we see someone going in a way that we believe is not the right way, I think there's a moral duty, if we believe we know a better way, to say, hey, this is really the better way. So from a personal perspective, faith is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, which we all need. Mm-hmm. So from a biblical point of view, that is what faith is. But beyond the Bible, there are a variety of faiths that people have. Mm-hmm. Jesus made a very exclusive claim. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Christianity is an exclusive religion. It excludes others as being correct.
I got you. Yeah. And I can appreciate that, right? And I think we could still talk about it.
Absolutely.
And sort of hold that there. When I think of faith, I think of Sir Randall's book, The Faith That Moved the Mountain. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's the faith itself, right? I'm sort of taking it out of the Christian sort of exclusive perspective. Mm-hmm. The idea that it's the faith itself that moved the mountain, right? And that anyone, no matter how small, can hold faith enough to move a mountain. We talk about how important that idea is from the Christian perspective, from general perspective, for people to have. Like, I think of it like to have had that experience. Some people say, oh, you have to go to the Alps. You know, I've been to the Alps. It still ain't as sweet as Eleuthera, Exuma, Mego on a beach. It still ain't. It's beautiful, you know. But how important is that faith?
Well, I think what you did there, which is good, is you introduced another meaning to faith. And that's one of the interesting things about language. Mm-hmm. Words have multiple meanings, so you always have to define what is your context and what you actually mean. So the kind of faith that Sir Randall expressed having was really ultimately a faith in God, that God was the one who brought about the social transformation that we saw in this country. But faith in that sense is a belief, a conviction that one has about something that doesn't seem evident. And when you think about it, that can only be from outside of yourself. That can only be a divine faith that a person actually has. So that deep, unswerving conviction about something or in God himself really can only come from God.
Yeah. And I feel that, and I think even for people who say, okay, I'm not Christian, I'm of another faith, they'll tell you the same thing in terms of their religious belief, right? That it sits here. For me, when you said that, you know, the image that popped into my mind, when I was young, I used to catch the bus with my housekeeper to her home, and we were very tiny, we were very small, and so what you could do is you could sit in someone's lap, you know, and women would be nice enough to say, oh, I'll hold that one. I think I remember one time my housekeeper was, oh, I didn't have enough money, but, you know, she said, trust in God, we could be okay, you know, and that's when I realized that Bahamian women, do you need somebody to hold that child? They can hold that child. And so that's a part of what I want to ask you, like, that's a part of that faith, right? But you ask my housekeeper, like you say, the faith was in God to provide a way.
Ultimately.
Right, to provide a way, and this is the way.
Right.
And is it that the other women step up and say, I know this is what the right thing is, or I know this is what the Lord would want me to do?
Yeah, that's interesting. God has ways of moving on our hearts, and sometimes we're not necessarily conscious that this is the Lord, but we just feel this impression, this impulse to do something. And many times, you know, that certainly is the Lord. So you're in the mall, for example, and maybe there's someone on the line that you're just drawn towards. And that could be really an impulse that the Lord has put on your heart, maybe to talk to that person. But doesn't necessarily come clothed in religious garments.
Absolutely. When I was growing up, I studied math. So I'm a mathematician and a logistician. And so when you look at sort of the Bahamian landscape and you hear people you sort of experience that. You have that moment where you witness somebody going through an issue or trying to find a solution, and they say, you know, they may even suck their teeth, or they may smile and say, child, God got me. I can figure this out. And I don't know if we, as individuals, look around us and see the extent to which people are praying today. So like a person like me, I come on the radio and say, look at how these people drive. Could they be Christians? Could they believe in a God? You know, I could do that, but at the same time, I would have to come on the air and say, but you know what? At the same time, I see people. And not even in a facetious way to say, oh, if you drive like that, you must really have faith in God. Not that. But in a separate way, you know, sort of witnessing people all the time, putting their faith in a higher power. And I wonder if we as a collective, and as I think more so as individuals we are, but if we as a collective are acknowledging that sort of culture, that state of being, that faith, that theology, that practice, and are we making more space for that? Are we acknowledging that and supporting people through that? And our churches sort of stepping up and helping people realize that as a true way of being. So, you know, look, I know I got this. Why? Because my church community understands what we need. They understand what they're called to do. They understand the need to encourage others to do the same. And if Bob don't got me, I know God got me, you know? Mm-hmm. Do you think the religious community, the Christian community, sort of understands that role?
Yeah, I do think so. I think what we have in the Bahamas, and ours would be from a predominantly Christian perspective, that's the way we were exposed and raised. And I think a lot of people know that God is benevolent, and the Bible says that he takes care of all that he's made. Mm-hmm. He makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And so we have this, what we call common grace, where God gives good to all people without exception, without distinction. That's separate and apart from a personal faith in mm-hmm. Christ. And I think a lot of people on that foundational level just believe in the goodness of the Lord, that he will provide, he will help. And I think we have had times in our history where that has been a beautiful thing to see communities rally together and help the less fortunate. I think even in the pandemic that we're in, we've seen that play out in a lot of different ways. We saw it in Dorian, where people were sacrificing to help other people, risking their own lives to do so. We see it right now with the doctors and nurses who are on the front line, and they're putting their lives at risk and family at risk to serve others.
Yeah.
So I think it's a beautiful thing when we see that lived out in that benevolent kind of way.
And I think it's so healing. Like I tell people, if you're driving on the road, you see somebody walking and somebody hail them, you see the way that they smile, how mm-hmm. it changes their day. And I think people, whether they're Christian or not, witnessing that or being a part of that, you know, even if you're not a Christian and somebody says, boy, look here, God got you, you know, you'd be all right. It still fills your heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pastor Morris, I got a couple of calls on the line.
Sure.
Let's get to the calls, and then we're going to get back to our question. And the question to my audience, do you cultural Christmas or do you Christian Christmas? That's a serious question. Do you cultural Christmas or do you Christian Christmas? Arlington, let's go to that first caller. Call you on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Hey, good morning, Sparky. How you doing?
Okay, quick to go. I heard you talking about the Jokadu rush outs.
Yeah.
Okay, first thing, I go quick with that, and then I'll come to that debate and the Christian thing.
Yeah.
Okay, quick thing. The rush out started 10th Street, outside Gus Cooper Garage, moved to the Birdland.
Uh-huh.
Jokadu was across the road with Gumtingham, some insurance is with Crisco, or whoever it is down in the valley.
Okay.
From there, the Jokadu shop moved from the Birdland and then moved down by the mall at Marathon, where it's the lead shop.
Okay.
So the valley split up, and then the people started building their own shops in their backyard.
Okay.
So everybody moved away from the main shop, but the main shop is down by the mall at Marathon. So you had, like, Sammy, his shop down on Tadik Darlin Highway. Then Gus moved from St. George's Church, and Gus went to Trinity back to Anglican Church down in Stapleton. When Gus died, that's where they buried Gus from.
Okay.
Gus Cooper, Winston Gus Cooper.
Yes, sir.
So what happened now is the valley, now that we had the COVID and everything, they don't rush in the valley no more. They moved to on Sunday night out on Port of Ski Dock.
Mm-hmm.
But now COVID stopped that. So now with the rush out, they're rushing down by Trinity Church down the park in Stapleton.
Right.
With the Saxons, because the Wooler and the Saxons were always in Mason tradition, basically on Thursday night, that's where they operate.
Okay.
Now, coming to the question between Christian, cultural Christmas, I don't believe a lot of things about what our religious people have been brainwashing with us. King James Version in 1604, the religious leaders would not tell most of us the truth, because if they tell us the truth, what they know, we wouldn't have to come to them on Sunday to don't go to them, because we would be wise enough to read the same book and know the same thing they have. I believe in energy, positive and negative energy keeps the earth, the world, the stratosphere, all the solar system going on, but the preachers and most of them, they talk to us as if God is some human man over there. They always refer to him as him, he, this and that. Like there's some human over there somewhere above the clouds pushing you here to do this and you that and make you win the 100-yard dash,
Sparky,
all kinds of things.
Sparky.
To me, God is within us. I in you and you in me. You believe in yourself. That's your faith.
I got you, Sparky. But listen, I think, first of all, I need to tell you this. I in the room with the pastor, you know, you're not here to get pinched, Sparky. You setting up a pinching kind of situation. But second of all, I don't know if they are sort of mutually exclusive. I don't know if you can't see the God within you and be a part of a spiritual structure, right? A hierarchy of power. I don't think the two are mutual, you know, are exclusive of you that the pastor's job is not to lead you, but to guide you, which is slightly different. His job isn't to lord over you. His job is to help you overstand in the same way he overstand. Right? So I appreciate what you're saying, and I'm not just saying this because I'm afraid of pinches, although I am. I think that there's some room, right? There's some room there. Let's try one more caller, and then we got to get back to this. I think we may have to go to a break even and then get to this question of cultural Christmas or Christian Christmas. Good morning, Carly, on the clock.
Carly, this is Doc in a voice.
Good morning, Bremen. How you do?
Yeah, I'm right here, Aaron. Pretty grand.
Ah, boy. Blessings.
But Marsh was saying.
Pardon?
But Marsh, what's he saying? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Bremen.
Okay. And the family?
Family as well. I trust you well as well.
Well, I'm holding. But what I want to say, right, for a lot of people who don't understand, is that the Bible says faith is the substance, the things that are not seen,
mm-hmm.
right? Also, it says faith without works is dead. The thing is, what people got to understand is this, that you got a job, right, or you want a job. Somebody would want you to be their yard. They say, read this yard for me. I'm going to pay you when you finish. You go and read the yard, believing in faith that when you finish the yard, you're going to get paid. That's faith. My other point is, right,
mm-hmm.
when you speak about people that drive by, I see yesterday I was walking. I was in the crosswalk crossing the street
mm-hmm.
on a car. I look at him, I hit in the car to make him to understand, with my cane, make him understand. He hit me. He say, I'm sorry. I said, what you looking at? There's a crosswalk, and you saw me, and you're still walking. What you looking at? So he said again, I'm sorry. I was so angry, I walked away.
Yeah, I'm glad that you walked away.
And I was on Bay Street, you know, Bay Street and Charlotte.
No, man.
The police, them needs to be, you know, operating in the manner in which decent or police supposed people that police that are trained.
Thank you, Bremen.
Supposed to be operating, especially in times like this when people are driving crazy and people all over the street.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, man, Bremen. Thank you. Look here. I want to say to the person that hit my friend Bremen on the pedestrian crossing and the police officers in town who don't quite understand what the job description is. Please do better. Your apology does not return a person's body back to where it was before you hit them. You cannot return them to the quality of life they want. And certainly, in a town where you could die from a paper cut. Good morning, PMH. We should take better care with each other. And I'm so serious about that. It's not as if y'all don't know the state of PMH. Put your phones down. For a second, I forgot I had a guest in the studio. I was about to talk about that handsome man I saw today deep in his phone. I want to tell him, buddy, the good Lord, this God, you, all the pretty looks you send down here for this boy, and he just wasting it. He just wasting it. Anyway, I got another text here. It says, Morning, Miss Green. How are you? Happy holidays, FNM, FNM. Morning, Miss Green. 140 COVID yesterday. Lockdown coming. Great show as usual. Which one is king of the Christmas? Main dish, the ham or the turkey? That's our show for tomorrow. Tune in. Great show as usual. I want you and your raccoons to have a merry, merry Christmas and happy new year. I want everybody in the Bahamas to have a happy, merry Christmas, especially the mangoes. God bless them. Whoever have this winter mango tree on Blue Hill Road, please call me. Please call me. I hear that music means it's time to go to a break. When we get back from the break, call if you can hold, hold. We're going to continue this conversation with Pastor Cedric Moss. We'll be right back.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with love, thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family, and family is important to us.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Juan McCartney, and I am wishing you and your family all the happiness in the world this holiday season and all of God's abundant blessings in the new year. Here's to hoping you have a great 2022.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. It is Thursday, the 23rd of December, Christmas, and I'm speaking with Pastor Cedric Moss, Senior Pastor at Kingdom Life Church, and we're talking about faith, the importance of faith and tradition, and Pastor Moss is bringing his Christian perspective to the table, and I am enjoying it. I want you all to know, I know a lot of people are like, boy, this is going to be a hot show. In fact, Pastor Moss, I get one text here. And I was a little concerned about reading it initially, right? But I want people to understand that things don't go the way you all think it is go all the time. The text says, Erin, Moss spoke against your sexuality. By him being on your show, is he now okay with it? If not, amazing how standards are lowered to be popular on the airwaves. Okay, so watch this. Pastor Moss doesn't have to agree with me or to endorse my sexuality for him to be on my show, A. For me to respect his voice, his role as a leader, religious, social, even political in a different sense, right? We don't have to agree for me to respect him. We don't have to agree for me to see the value of his work to his community, to his congregation, to himself, to the wider community. I could even see the value of his work to me. And we don't have to agree on everything. What's more important is that we don't shut down different perspectives. Hear them out. Reason with them or not. But don't invisibilize them because you don't agree with them. I would never deny Pastor Moss a space on my show. That doesn't make any sense. Also, it don't make any sense. If you heard me on my shows with Pastor Reg Eldon, you'd know that I grew up in the church. If you hear me talking, you would understand that these things, these principles I keep raising, They are religious, they are biblical, they are spiritual. And I could say what I want, but I first found them in the church, even if I may have found one or two in other places. So let's not, let's change that perspective. Let's look at the world differently.
Yeah, Aaron, thanks for that response, and I certainly agree. If we decided that we would not relate to people who we disagree with, our world would be pretty small.
And I have faith that, and for real, I have faith that even people who disagree with me, that we can still share the same space on the most fundamental things. I would never deny the value and importance of Christianity in the lives of the people that I know, that I've known of the world. There's value in it, right?
Yeah.
I think we should sort of change the way we engage these things.
Yeah, I think it's rooted in ignorance, though. Mm-hmm. Ignorance of the scriptures, ignorance of our constitution permits us to have different views and to be able to share the same space with one another. And to really believe that people have a right to those, mm-hmm. Though we may disagree with them.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, I would say that the person who wrote text is misguided mm-hmm. in what he or she is saying.
Right. And for me, I was intentional writing Pastor Moss on the show a couple of days before Christmas, right? I wanted to create a discussion about the Christian experience of church and Christmas, but also a discussion about faith with someone who knows a lot, whether they're Christian or not, but this is somebody who to be honest with you all, I trust to talk about faith with a wider public. I'm not the one to just say, today we're going to have a lesson by Pastor Aaron Green. So y'all be easy. And I want to say, don't be easy with me. That's not about that. But be easy with yourself and with each other. You know, let's not be this way with each other. Another text said, I'm sort of similar to the pastor. Love the sinner, not the sin. That's what the text said. Right? I think that's a cool text as well. Another text says, I think we celebrate Christmas just a day off to give gifts. Not all of us, just the majority of us. So let's get right into, Arlington, let's see this caller. Call Atkins, unless you're talking about the great debate. Good morning.
Aaron Green, you give me 30 seconds of this money, folks. Christmas, good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Yeah, Aaron, give me 30 seconds of what you talk about.
Go on.
Oh, I agree with you. Agree with you, gentlemen. And on this blessed day, the main reason Christmas is always Christ. Mm-hmm. In the manger, that's what check our constitution. That's what we built on. That's what I grew up on, gentlemen. So I him in the same set, so that's what made him grow on. And Aaron Green, of course, and everybody a generation would agree with us.
Mm-hmm.
We have freedom, true Christianity, day and all that. That's where the true freedom comes from. Check history. History will back that up. Right, my brother?
I think he agrees with you.
You guess, yeah, you agree?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening.
I mean, you agree?
But I can track where you're going.
I mean, you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I follow you.
But that's what I'm saying. So you're saying that the freedom is done in Christianity?
The question.
No, I'm saying that we have freedoms that allow us to have beliefs and...
Our constitution is based on that, remember now. One of the greatest constitutions in the United States, God we trust.
But listen, we're not going to have that conversation today. You see how polite I'm being and not even challenging that point, babe?
Yeah, but you know, Eric, I did you your show throughout the year. Happy you coming back next year.
I
haven't done it yet. Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But you enjoyed all the turkey, potato salads, course. And those out there, don't forget me. They still want an AirPods iPod.
I got you.
Pumpkin.
Thank you, Pumpkin Eater. I got to go.
You too. Have a good day.
Yeah, man. Look here. Thank you. I want to say thank you for your engagement. I also want to say thank you, Dom. Nor do I eat turkey, but I receive your blessings. And I tell you, hold on. Keep holding on. Keep holding on. Okay, let's get to this, to the debate.
Sure.
Cultural, not really a debate. Cultural Christmas or Christian Christmas? And the first question I sort of had was, what are the most important elements of Christmas?
Well, it is celebrating the fact that Christ was born,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily the date on which he was born, because we date with any
right.
certainty. And what we are able to discern from Scripture is it probably was not in December,
mm-hmm.
more than likely not in December, because you would not have shepherds in the field at that time of the year. It would be too cold. And some biblical scholars tell us it's probably more in August, September.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Jesus never told us to celebrate the date of his birth,
mm-hmm.
but he did tell us to commemorate the date of his death.
Mm-hmm.
And the date of his birth points to his death. The Bible says that he came to save his people from their sins, and he did that by dying on a cross.
Mm-hmm.
So even when we celebrate Christmas, we must remember the end of Christmas, which is the cross of Christ.
Absolutely. Okay. Another question, can you celebrate Christmas outside of a church?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Listen,
there's no.
Be careful now, because there's a whole bunch of parents that was already preparing to tell their children, we have to go to church. It ain't Christmas unless you go to church, and you don't get no gift unless you go to church.
Yeah, and that's fine
for
those parents, but no. Christmas, church is no monopoly on Christmas, and it's interesting even to think about the fact that for 300 years, the church did not celebrate Christmas. For 300 years. Christmas came some 300 years after Christ ascended. And the reason had to do with the church fathers at that time being strategic in terms of, you had a lot of people in the Roman Empire who were coming to faith, and they had this particular holiday which they celebrated, and the name of that holiday, I'll give it to you, is the Natalis Solis Invicti, which was the birth date of Aurelius, the Roman emperor.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave gifts and had a lot of festivities around that time. So you had a lot of Roman citizens coming into the faith at that time,
mm-hmm.
and many of them would be feeling left out when these celebrations were going on. So the church fathers decided they would celebrate instead of Aurelius' birthday, they'll celebrate the birthday of Christ, and they decided to put it on his birthday. And so what you had was a lot of the cross-pollinization of both festivals. So the gift-giving kind of got out of proportion and all the other stuff. But when it started out, it was around three masses,
mm-hmm.
a midnight mass, a morning mass at 6 o'clock, and then a 12 noon mass.
Okay.
And they talked about Christ being begotten in the bosom of the Father, that was the midnight mass, then being conceived in the womb of Mary, that was the 6 a.m. mass,
mm-hmm.
and then the 12 noon mass was Christ being born in the heart of the believer. And so it had very strong rootings when it started, but then over time, it just took on more of a secular
mm-hmm.
Feel to it. But we celebrate Christmas, and we try our best to center it on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow, absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't know that history.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
At all.
300 years, the church never celebrated it.
Okay. What I did have a question. I didn't know. You see there, carol services and midnight mass, cultural or religious? It starts off as religious.
Yes, it did start off as religious,
mm-hmm.
and I think it still is, but people tend to approach it more in a cultural way, so they don't engage in the theology of it all. They see it more as a part of the practice. And I imagine that's a good place to start, because maybe the theology will catch up with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How are you and your congregation celebrating Christmas this year for people who don't have a church, are looking for a safe place to worship, or, you know, a congregation, whether you're doing virtual services, a space to join, to be a part of community, to fellowship,
mm-hmm.
at this time?
Yeah, well, we're gathering face-to-face. We also live stream the gatherings, and we follow the protocols of hand sanitization.
Mm-hmm.
We have the distancing of 6 feet for those who are not in the same family. And this past Sunday, we did a Christmas presentation that was filled with a lot of wonderful theologically sound carols and hymns. And this Sunday, I'll also be bringing another Christmas message. But yeah, I mean, those who may wish to visit are welcome. We start at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning.
All right. And would people, would you say, if people looked at your church, right, would they say, this is a sort of, I call it like high Anglican, very strict, very focused, sort of calm and subdued? Or you're more of a young people church?
I would say more the latter than the former.
Awesome.
We certainly aren't Anglican, although we...
No, I know you're not Anglican.
We do hold some theological convictions that the Anglicans would hold.
But I didn't mean it like...
I understand.
Yeah, I understand.
So ours would be more of a relaxed environment. People would not feel put off. And I think our service is accessible. Mm-hmm. That's what I would like to say. That if somebody comes, they would not feel like they came in out of a time zone, so to speak.
Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. To that texter, man, look here. In honor of your text, I want to put together a panel of religious leaders from different faiths in the country to have a discussion, because I think y'all would be surprised by how much, well, not all of y'all, but maybe you text her, but how much fun that would be. Fun in the sense of not a battle, not a fight, not a war. That these people of different faiths and deeply and devoutly committed to their faiths can still hold space together, can still reason together, could still talk about important things together without war. And so I'm going to try and organize that, and I hope that you are, if you are available, that you're willing to come.
I would
come
love to come.
In fact, I think I'm going to have to have you on again, because I think this is an important conversation, and maybe I'll invite you to bring someone to join us, right, in that conversation. It's the type of conversation we need to continue to have. Particularly people of faith, people in the Christian church. These are the conversations y'all need to be having with each other all the time. The same way young people like to talk about what's on MTV and what's on this and that, the church should be roaring with internal dialogue and come together and reason things out. And I think young people will resonate to that. Absolutely. So thank you very much, Pastor Moss. Do you want to let people know how they can get in contact with you if they wish?
Yes, and thank you, Aaron. My contacts are public, so my email is cmoss@kingdom-life.org. If that's too difficult to remember, just cedric.moss@gmail. And my cell phone number is 357-8611, and I'm on WhatsApp.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Just as we end the show, Arlington, let me read this quick text. I think they said, why does that caller get so upset about other people's religious belief? Nobody telling him to believe in God. He has free will and he's chosen. Enjoy your choice and stop stressing out about other people's decisions. Text says, I'm not limited in my thinking. This is a response to that that controversial text. It says, Aaron, stop being defensive. I'm just asking for the community and to broaden conversation. I'm not limited in my thinking. I ask questions. I want to hear all views. I'm a smart person. You helped start Hope T Group. Cool. This person who started LGBTI group. Okay, that's cool. I didn't think you were limited in your thinking. I just thought maybe limited in your imagination. Let's imagine beyond that. But I thank you for the text because it opened up a conversation. And that's the sort of perspective that I'm trying to encourage. Get mad at nothing. See everything as an opportunity to learn more about yourself. And I think my guest would say, and to learn more about your God and the world that he created you to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you very much. Arlington, I say, play one happy birthday song to close out the show. I don't know. It's somebody birthday somewhere today. And I just hoping for a piece of cake. So if it's your birthday, look for me. We're going to play this happy birthday song to close out the show. To somebody out there, happy birthday. Also, it's 11 a.m. That means Unleashed and Levon Miller is up next.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.